Father, I thank you, Lord, because the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And we are going to declare that word today. For we understand by faith that through faith the walls were framed by the word of God. Hallelujah. So we're going to frame certain things here today and over the next few days by the grace of God, by the word of God. Glory to God. We're going to chart a new course for the people of God by the word of God in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So, I am going to do a mini series out of the book of Exodus, for God wanted to bring them out and take them in. Not just bring them out, but also take them in. You know, so now we'll go through some of the lessons, several chapters in the book of Exodus. And I want to deal with it, but it's going to be at the end of this room. I'll do a powerful prayer session this morning to break some things that the enemy is trying to put on some of our people. Now, we're going to start from, I'll just go through the book of Exodus, but not all the chapters. There are some that are of particular interest to me. The first one that is of interest is Exodus chapter 3. That's the first one that's of interest. And that's the one that we're going to start with. Now, just as a background, you know, possibly, and I hope most people do, the story of Moses. You know, and when he was grown, he actually ended up growing up in the house of Pharaoh. And later on, he saw the injustice to his own people. He didn't like it. He took matters into his hands. One day, he ended up killing an Egyptian. The next day, one of the Jews accused him of meddling with their own affairs and challenged him. Now, do you want to kill me like you killed the Egyptians yesterday? So he ran for his life, escaped, became a fugitive. Now, that's a quick summary. And then, you know, got into this place called Midian and was there for a while. One day, while he was there, he went to this place called Mountain of God. That's what they used to call it. Now, the Midianite there back then, they called it Mountain of God because they used to see something on that mountain. Nobody dared go there. They would just see something. It's like something glowing. So anyway, he went there one day, and we pick up that story in Exodus chapter 3. Now, his father-in-law was Jethro. At that time, Moses had gotten involved with Jethro's daughter and all that stuff. And eventually, you know, he gave her to him for wife and so forth. And he was helping them to keep the flock. Now, you know, Moses never really learned to keep flock. He had to learn it very quickly. However, it was in his it was in his DNA, you know, because that's what the Jews did. But he learned it quickly. Anyway, we pick up this story in Exodus 3. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside. That's right. The backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. Now, listen, he looked, you know, and sometimes you really have to look, right? You know, Today, if you will look, you might actually see something that you didn't see before. But you have to look. You know, you have to look. There's a few things that I will call out here that Moses did. First, he looked, you know. When he looked, he saw that there was a fire burning in the bush there. But when he looked, see, what you expect when the bush is on fire is that all the dry branches and various things like that will start diminishing and the, you know, the bush will be consumed. But as he looked, he noticed that this is a different kind of fire. There seemed to be nothing happening to the bush. In fact, the bush was glowing rather than being consumed and diminishing and turning to ashes or soot. You know, it was just, no, it wasn't like that. It was just glowing. And so he said in his heart, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt. Now, that was all that God needed. The appearing of the angel of the Lord in the burning bush, the phenomena of the bush on fire, whereas the bush was not consumed, was to get his attention. And God did get his attention. But he also, when he looked and saw this thing, he determined to get a little closer. See? Turn aside. Leave the ship. Leave whatever that you were dealing with before. And get a closer look. Come closer and see what's going on here. Because this is something. Never seen any such thing. So, he comes closer. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. Now, this is important, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to take my time as I go through this series to bring out elements in these stories. But there's something we're going with it. And I will get to some part of it this morning because there's an urgency for prayer here. But in the meantime, let me go through these elements. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, in other words, God was waiting to see Moses' reaction. And, he could have run off. He could have just said, wow, my goodness, what is this thing? And then got away from it and gone and reported it to his family or his father-in-law, or anybody else, said, look, my goodness, I saw something today. You will never believe what I saw. And that might be all. So God did not start to say anything or speak anything to him until he drew near. Now, it is important for us to draw near. There are certain signs and wonders and supernatural things that the Lord may do, mostly to get our attention and draw us near. Now, if you are like Moses and you draw near to try to check it out, then perhaps you get to the next level in the encounter. Now, this encounter was important for Moses. Hallelujah. And let me give you number one punchline today. There can be no transformation without encounter. And the encounter that we must have is with this burning bush. Moses is about to be transformed into somebody else right now. It's going to be a process. It's not going to be instantaneous though, but he's about to go through something. But first, the Lord will get his attention. So there are things that may happen in our lives and the Lord is waiting to get our attention. He's waiting until you turn aside. Now, when Moses turned aside and the Lord saw that he turned aside, then the Lord called unto him. See? called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Now the Lord knows your name too. So you don't need to introduce yourself to God. Moses didn't need to say, well, I am Moses. No, that's not how it works. The Lord knows who you are. Now, you may not know who he is. Now, Moses did not know who the Lord was because he never had any such encounter. But the Lord knew him, knew his name. See, and whatever name that you are giving naturally upon the earth, the Lord knows it too. Whether it's the name that the Lord wants to give you that will match the calling of God in your life, or, you know, the name that somebody just gave you, it doesn't matter. God knows it. There are cases when God changed people's names. But first, he called them by their old name, you know, and then he might change the name, and like Abraham, he might change his name to Abraham. But before that, he called him Abraham, just like it was, you know. So, you know, whatever name that you are given upon the earth, God knows it, and I call you by that name. Now, he might at some point give you a new name. And there are even some promises in the book of Revelation that he will give you finally a new name, a white stone with a new name written. He that overcometh, and so forth, you know. And Lord even said, I will write upon him the name of my God, and, you know, the name of the new city, and all these things. But the Lord did know his name, called him Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. And then the Lord told him something, because Moses was getting closer and getting too close. The Lord told him, stop right there. Take off your shoes from off your feet, from the place whereon thou standest, because it is holy ground. Now that's God's declaration, you know. So let's unpack that for a few minutes. What made this place holy ground? What made it holy ground? There wasn't anything holy about the ground. It was just ground. As a matter of fact, it was the backside of the desert. The things that are usually in the desert, like dust and dirt and, you know, just bush and litter, might be there too. Maybe some crawling lizards or whatever. I don't know. But it was by no means holy. I mean, there was nothing. You could not look at that thing, that ground, or that area and call it holy by any means. There's nothing to it. There was no tabernacle or temple or any synagogue or anything built in there. It was just dirt. But God called it holy ground. The difference is, ladies and gentlemen, that's number two punchline here today. The difference is when the presence of God arrives, it becomes holy ground. That's it. Didn't matter what that ground was before. You know, at that moment, that burning bush, the glory of God was upon it. It became holy ground. There's a lesson in there too, which I've taught before. That you may look around and all you see might be dirt and bush and rubbish that's on the ground. That's all Moses saw. Well, God saw something else. Hallelujah. Actually, God knew something else. See, God doesn't need to see anything. He knows everything. You know, God knew something else. He knew that this place has become holy because he's now there. See, God will never be in anything that's not holy. That's number three punchline. You know, God cannot be in anything. You know, God cannot come, be, and be a part of anything that's not holy. So let's understand that right now. Now, once, but when he does come, when he's there, then it is holy. And no matter what anybody else thinks. See, the fact that God is on that ground now, he had become holy despite what Moses might have been thinking. Or looking or seeing, it matter. God calls it holy ground. So already we have three lessons out of this encounter. And we're not even barely into the encounter yet. You know, so Now, God says to him, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. Well, you know, Moses never knew any such thing. You know, but I mean, he knew the story of Abraham. He knew the story of Isaac and the story of Jacob. I mean, these children of Israel, they always had their endless genealogies. They always told and everything. So he knew it. But now God is introducing himself as the God of all his fathers, his forefathers, and so on. Ah. And then that voice that came out of there was a strong and stout and deep voice. Moses. Moses. I am the God of thy father. The God of Abraham. The God, you know, deep voice and so on like that. And Moses was afraid. You know, he hid his face. He was afraid. You know, the moment. Now, remember, he was looking, gazing on that thing. I mean, his eyes were not blinded by anything. So, you know, he was the one that decided to look away. You know, when they have this eclipse of the sun and so forth, especially a total eclipse, they tell you not to look directly into it. Well, you know, Moses was looking directly at the burning bush. And God didn't tell him to close his eyes. The only thing God told him is to take off your shoes. You know, but now, immediately he heard that there's something in that fire that's God. Say, ah, no. So he turned aside, he didn't turn aside, but, you know, bowed his head, you know, hid his face and so forth. Say, oh, I can't look upon God. Well, God never told him not to look. But he said, you know, and that's how we are. The human nature, because we don't know God, and we are not like him in our human nature. Our tendency is for us to hide, run, and do everything from God. You know, God didn't tell him hide. God didn't tell him cover your face. There was a time later he told him that I'm not going to show you everything you want to see, but we'll stand over here and I'll show you some things. In this case, God didn't say that. But he said, well, no, I can't look upon God. They've heard some stories about God. You know, and, but he, we're not, we don't have any thing that tells us that he knew too much about God, because he grew up in the house of Pharaoh. He was a baby, you know, for just a couple months at the time was the mother went and put him in the Nile River and, on the Nile River and so forth. And so he would have heard if he had spent a lot of time growing up, like his sister Miriam and his brother Aaron, and you know, he might have heard some things, but he heard very little because he grew up in the house of Pharaoh, and the house of Pharaoh, they don't serve God. They serve something else. They serve the God of the Nile and all these other things that they serve. So he didn't know very much about God, but you know, there was something in there too. But anyway, now he was afraid to look upon God, and the Lord spoke to him. See? I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. Now, notice how the Lord said this thing here. I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. First of all, the Lord called them his people. Now, you know, so God is mindful of us in the situation that we're in, even though our situation might make us think that, you know, God has rejected or forgotten us. God's, you know, I mean, for 400 years. And the Lord did tell Abraham this thing. You know, he said, know of a surety, you know, in Genesis 15, he told him that, look, your seed, this will happen to them and so on and so forth, before he even had a child. So God knew about it. And for all those years that they were in bondage, these people might have thought, well, we don't know about this God, you know, but God still called them my people. Now, I have seen, but notice the order in which God said this thing. I have seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now, God knows everything you're going through, but listen to the order in which he said it. He saw, and then he heard. Now, this tells us, this is number four lesson here that we're getting at, number four or five or whatever, that look, when you are going through, you can be going through without crying out to the Lord, you know, but when you begin to cry out to the Lord, then the Lord will do something about it. So he saw their affliction. Perhaps when they were afflicted, you know, they didn't really cry out. And then after a while, they actually started to cry out. So first he saw their affliction and nothing happened. As far as he was concerned, he already knew this will happen. But then later, when the thing got stronger, that the word of the Lord, which he spoke to Abraham many, many 400 years before that might be fulfilled, then now they started to cry unto the Lord. So it is important when you are going through that you must cry unto the Lord. It is the cry unto the Lord, not just the affliction. The affliction was there, but it was the crying unto the Lord that made God do something about it. And the Lord said, look, I am now come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land to a good land and a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey and so forth. He told them, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. I'm going to give them I'm going to give to children of Israel the land of these people. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. See, because you might say, well, they cried out. Well, did they cry unto the Lord? Well, this verse tells us here that they cried unto the Lord. The cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I've also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Now, therefore, come. Hallelujah. And I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Now, let's pause a minute here. We've dealt with the issue of in your affliction, you must cry to the Lord. That's it. Don't just wallow in your affliction without crying to the Lord. But then when God starts to deliver, he might actually send someone. You know, we never know how God does things. I mean, why is it that God had to send Moses? Why couldn't just God just go down there himself? Well, first of all, you know, if God went there, I mean, you saw what happened. Every time God came into their camp, they ran away, you know. So God had to find someone who he could deal with or trust that could relate his words and actions and his intentions to these people, because God already knew these people can't hear the voice of God. Anyway, he says to Moses, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So now Moses now knows, wow, I am talking with God. I'm talking to God. God's talking with me. What is this? You know? So, but I mean, he's going to try by all means to get out of that thing. First of all, he doesn't want to go back to Egypt because he's a fugitive there. There's a warrant out for his arrest. And the king Pharaoh of Egypt has searched many places, even all coasts around, to see where he went, or the towns and cities and places. So now, he really doesn't want to go back there. You know, because you don't kill an Egyptian. You just don't do that. You know, it's like you don't put your hands against a Roman citizen. So anyway, he says, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? What am I going to do that? I'm just one person. And everybody knows who this Pharaoh is. You know, how great he is. You know, and so forth. And at that time, you know, the kingdom of Egypt was feared, you know, across the world. You know, nobody dared mess with Pharaoh. So you send me there to do what? What can I do? I'm just one person. And the Lord said to him, look, I will certainly be with you. Praise God. And the Lord already knew his doubting heart at that time, because he doubted himself. I mean, he was a fugitive. He just didn't know he could do it. And the Lord said, look, I'm going to give you a token that I have sent you. You know, when thou hast brought forth these people, I will meet them here. Now, that's what God is saying. Ladies and gentlemen, you go on this mission. When you do what I ask you to do, I'll be with you while you're there. But when you do it and you come back here and you finish, I'll meet you here. Praise the Lord. You know, that's another lesson. And God send you on a mission. He'll be with you on the mission. And he will meet you also at the end of it. Now, for the mission that Moses was encountering, it was actually in phases. The goal was not the wilderness, not by a long shot. The goal was the promised land, you know, the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hittites, you know, Hivites, Jebusites, I mean, Jebusites and so on. That was the goal. However, it's in stages. First, you got to get them out. You got to deliver them from bondage. That's number one. Number two, you got to get them out of that environment. You know, there are times when you got to get out of the environment. Get out of that environment. Come out of there. You know, because you can't just be delivered and sit there. You got to get out of there. So these things were in stages. Come out of there. Get them out of there. And then let them come out of there. When they come out, I'll meet them here. And they will serve me. And God already knew the message that he was going to send to Pharaoh. Now, Moses didn't know all of it. But God told him, look, I will be with you. And when you bring them out, they will serve me upon this mountain. But that's not the place that they're going to be forever. They'll just be passing through. Now, and Moses said, look, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, they shall say unto me, the God of your fathers has sent me. And when I shall say unto them, rather, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, because the Lord told him that. Well, they shall say to me, what is his name? And then, what in the world will I answer? Of course, now, look, Moses did not know the tradition of the children of Israel, because he didn't grow up among them like that. You know, they didn't ask about his name. But Moses said, well, if they shall ask me, what is your name? What am I going to say? So the Lord just going to, you know, dismiss that, you know. And basically it's like, look, I am that I am. That's it. You know, it's like, look, I'm the self-existent one. That's all you need to know. I am that I am. You say, who are you? Say, I am that I am. That's who I am. I am what I am, and that I am is me. And that's who I am. But give you a name here and there. God will later give them names and so forth to refer to him. And they themselves will later give God some names. When God will do some things for them, then they will call God the God of this, the God of that. And sometimes God himself will call, you know, give them some names and some attributes and different things. But at this point in time, he's saying, look, I am that I am. That's sufficient. You know, and say, wow. And that's what you will say unto the children of Israel. I am. That means the self-existent one. You know, God is not a God that was only, or a God that will be only. God is one that's in all these dimensions at once. He's eternal. The time zone, and I use that word time in quotes, but there's no time with God. I should just say the zone in which God functions is not, you know, limited by our time of past, present, future. He's in all the zones at once because he's eternal. Praise God. I am. Has sent me. Now, Moses couldn't figure that out, you know. And he's still thinking about it in his heart. And then God said to him, "And thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers." Now, the children of Israel, they know who that is, but they've heard stories. "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. Now, this is my name." Now, God's going to tell him now. "This is the name by which I want to be known." See? And this is a memorial to all generations. And you know, Jesus himself, he talked about this because he knew the Jews knows this thing. The Jews know about, you know, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of... So when they were asking about the resurrection, and he knew what was in their heart, and telling him, "Look, we had a, you know, a man here, you know, that died, and he had no children. His brother took his wife. And then he died and had no children. And then the other brother and so on. Seven of them finally had this woman. You know, and they all died without a living seed. Now, in the resurrection, they didn't even believe in the resurrection. They were trying to trap Jesus. Now, in the resurrection, whose wife will this be? Seeing that, you know, she has seven husbands. Now, that's a good question. That's a lesson I might actually explain one day. People have had multiple husbands in the resurrection. Whose wife would she be? But Jesus just dismissed that. He dismissed it completely. He said, "Look, ye neither know the scriptures nor the power of God." You don't know any of those things. If you knew the scriptures, you know, then you wouldn't be asking me this kind of question. If you also knew the power of God, you wouldn't be asking me these kind of questions. They don't marry. You know, they didn't believe in the resurrection in the first place. So first of all, he dismissed the issue of whose wife is she going to be. When she goes up, you're not going to be anybody's wife. You're not going to be anybody's husband. That era is gone. You're going to be a daughter of the king. You're going to be a son of the king. Era of, "Oh, it's my husband, it's my wife." That's gone. Just dismiss that one. Now, he said unto them, though, concerning you not knowing the power of God. Said God called himself the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. He's now going to deal with the resurrection. Because that was really what was in their hearts. And they were just trying to trap Jesus a different way. And he said, "Look, that's what was really the in their hearts." So Jesus said unto them, "God is not a God of the dead if you think there's no resurrection. If God called himself the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and if the dead rise not, we know that Abraham is dead, Isaac is dead, Jacob is dead. If the dead rise not, then God has become the God of the dead." What Jesus was saying. And he said, "God is not a God of the dead." So he left it there. Meaning to you that the people you thought were dead are resurrected. Otherwise, God will be a God of the dead. If God called himself the God of Abraham and Abraham is dead and remains dead, then God's a God of the dead. And Jesus said, "God is not a God of the dead." Period. So that settles it. Ladies and gentlemen, that settles it for you. Our God is not. That's why God raises the dead. He, you know, rather than burying the dead and all these things, God will actually raise the dead. Hallelujah. That's what the scripture says. God who raises the dead and calls things that are not as though they are. Does God actually raise the dead? Well, absolutely. You saw that Jesus did it multiple times. And you can read that lesson in Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. God raises the dead. Quickening means brings the dead back to life. And calls those things which are not as though they already were. Now getting back to our story, you will tell them that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has sent you. Glory to God. And then, you know, they will hear you because they know who that God is. And Moses didn't really know. Like I said, he did not grow up in the culture of the Jews. You know, so the Lord is going to tell him though, "And I'm going to send you there." And you tell them and they will know. And so Moses, well, Okay. So the Lord has told him, the Lord has cornered him now. He can't escape. So he's going to look for some other, you know, argument of how to escape. You know, say, look, when you tell them, you know, go and gather all the elders, you know, of Israel together and tell them the Lord God of your fathers, as a second time again, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, use that because they understand that. Tell them, as appeared unto me, and said, I've surely visited you and seen that which is done to you, and I will bring you up. See? Out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land. The wilderness was not the journey. I mean, was not the end goal, folks. It was supposed to pass through unto the land of the Canaanites. You know, this is the second or third time the Lord is saying that. And the Lord said, they shall hearken to your voice. Once you introduce the one that's calling you or sending you as the God of their fathers, Abraham, they know that story. You just go tell them. You're the one that don't know it. They know it. You go tell them. So anyway, he said, look, but I am sure, the Lord said, that the king of Egypt will not let you go. If he will not let us go, then why in the world are you sending me there to go and get them out of there? You already know he's not going to let us go. Well, yeah. There are many things the Lord may know. You know, I mean, let me rephrase that. There are many things the Lord knows. And there are some things that may relate to the situation, the condition he's dealing with you at the present, of the things that he knows. And yet, you know, he might tell you something that looks like, my goodness, why is he putting me in the midst of this? You already know this. Why are you telling me this? But there are other things that the Lord knows that you don't know. Now, the Lord said, I've seen their affliction and I know their sorrows, and he sees your situation and I know their burdens. And the Lord knows those things. The Lord will tell you something that looks like, I mean, God's putting me into more trouble. But then also he knows how he's going to bring you out of that, which you don't know. You know, so finally, you know, the Lord also told him that, look, remember, the Lord told this to Abraham, Genesis 15, that I will also punish that nation and bring them out with a high hand and so on. And Lord said, look, and I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and shall come to pass when you go out, you shall not go out empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in their house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold. This is God's way of transferring the wealth of Egypt to the children of Israel because of all the things that Egypt had put upon them for 400 years. The Lord told him here, you know, get all the gold and the raiment and then put them upon your sons, upon your daughters, and you will spare the Egyptians. Not only will I bring you out of hard bondage, I'm going to bring you out with a great substance after I have shown a great hand in the land. The man's not going to let you go, but I will bring you out. See, it's not that Pharaoh is just going to serve you up on a platter and say, hey, you go. He was not going to do it, but I'm going to bring you out. See, now that's the difference. That's another lesson here today. Whether the enemy, say, the prayer of the mighty and all of these things, you know, say, look, the mighty one that had captured that prey, he's not going to give it up. You're going to have to take it from him. Jesus told the same story to us. He said, when a strong man that is armed keepeth his goods are at peace, and he thinks everything is kosher. Well, until a stronger than he shall come upon him. Now, he's not going to give it up. You know, you're the one that's going to have to take it from him. That's right. And in order to take it from him, I am going to be the one to take it from him for you and bring you out of there. And Jesus, he told the same story. You know, can read in Luke chapter 11, told us a story. Like, starting at verse 21, he says, you know, when a strong man keeps his goods and things like that, you know, it looks like everything is secure and he's not going to give it up easily. The only way you're going to get it from him is the way that Jesus describes here. You know, you've got to be stronger than him. And you shall come upon him, overcome him, bind him, take away from him his armor in which he trusted. That's the only way. Not that he's just going to give it up. No, you're going to have to take it from him. You got to take it from him. Hallelujah. Kingdom of God, suffer a violence. And the violent, they take it by force. You know, the enemy is not going to give it up, but you're going to have to take it. So the Lord said to Moses, I know he's not going to give it to you, you know, but you're going to have to take it. Matthew 11, 12 tells you the same thing. The kingdom of God, suffer violently, violent, take it by force. So God has now narrated the mission to Moses. Let me stop here and refresh you on what we are doing in case you joined late. We're starting a mini series on the Exodus, but I am calling it Emerge. Because this Emerge word was what God had told us last year. You got to come out of there, emerge and come into your own. However, Pharaoh has other plans. He's not going to let you go. And God knew that. God even knew. God would tell Moses later on that, look, I'm even going to harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will not let you go. And this is very confusing to Moses. You're sending me to go out there. You know this man is not going to let us go. And you're going to even harden his heart so he will not let us go. I mean, what's up with that? And the Lord's going to tell him, yeah, you know, he will not let you go. I will even harden his heart. I will not, so that he will not let you go. But I'll show you a great sign. Show him also a great sign. And then he will forcibly cast you out. Now God told Moses those things later. But here in Exodus chapter 3, the Lord has laid out the plan or the mission. Your mission, Moses, should you choose to accept it, is for you to go back to Egypt and bring my people out. Although Pharaoh will not let them go. It's called Mission Impossible, ladies and gentlemen. Pharaoh will not let you go, but you're going to have to bring them out. How in the world are you going to do that when he's not going to let you? And Pharaoh, he's the king of the world. He's got armies like nobody's business. I mean, his soldiers and so forth, they are trained. How are you going to do it? You as a single man go out there and do it? You can't do it. But the Lord said, yeah, you're going to do it. You know. So that's the first part of our lesson today. Now, the mission here, as you see it, was not bring them out and let them remain in the wilderness. The Lord said that they will serve me on this mountain, but that's not the end goal. They must proceed on to the land of the Canaanites, which I promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to his seed forever. But they're going to have to pass through here. And while they're here, they worship me on here. I'll meet with them here. And so that was the mission. So let's not forget it, ladies and gentlemen. That was the mission. So Moses had to go back into Egypt. You know, before he went though, a lot of argument ensued. Because at this point in time, Moses is still doubting himself. He still doesn't think he can do it. And he's going to try to find a way to get out of this assignment. So Moses said to God, now we're in Exodus chapter 4. But behold, they will not believe me. Now will they hearken unto my voice? You know, now the Lord already said they will hearken to your voice. when you tell them the God of your fathers, and you mention that phrase, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, they know that story. And you don't, but they know. And when you say that, they will listen to you. Moses said, they will not listen to me. He said, okay. And they will not hearken to my voice. And they will even say, the Lord has not sent you. And so the Lord said, look, okay, and I've got to deal with this guy now. So the Lord says, what is in your hand? At that time, he had the shepherd's staff and the shepherd's rod in his hand. Now, those shepherds, they had that rod for many reasons, you know, kind of gently lead the flock when they're going this way, put the rod this way and lead them this way. They also had that rod to guide them when they have to climb the hills or this and that and so on. Lean upon that rod and everything. So Moses said, look, a rod, of course, not that the Lord didn't know, just wanted to hear him say it. So why a rod? The Lord said, well, it's a rod, right? Say, yeah. Say, well, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. And it became a serpent, like a viper, curled up like this, rolling and then caught up. Moses ran from it. Like, my goodness, what is this? And the Lord said, put forth now thy hand and take it by the tail. Now, don't try to get him by the head, but get him by the tail. And so, Moses is like, oh, my goodness, take a serpent, you know. But you know, the God that they served, small g, in Egypt, God of the Nile, God of snakes and serpents and different things was what they served over there. And so God's going to show him this thing. You know, you're going to have to deal with this thing. You're going to have to, God already knew how he's going to dismiss the power of their God of snakes, going to dismiss the power of their God of Nile, going to dismiss those powers. So God said, okay, take it. And he took it. And it came back into a rod. So now Moses is like, oh my goodness. You know. And he said, the Lord said to him, they will believe you that I am the God of their fathers that have sent you and appeared unto you. Now Moses is thinking, he said, yeah, I know I've seen stuff like that before. And I've seen those, you know, those magicians, they can blow their flute and talk to those serpents. They can do this and that. And the snakes, he has seen it in the kingdom, in the palace. He's seen that stuff before. He's thinking in his heart, what might all these things mean? So anyway, the Lord is looking at him. He knows that he's still thinking some things in his heart. The Lord said to him, furthermore, put your hand inside your bosom. And when he put it in his bosom, I'm going to put my hands out of both on them. What? Well, bring it out. He brought it out again and became leprous. I'm like, my goodness. The whole thing white as snow in just 1 second. And while he's still pondering, the Lord said, put your hand back into your bosom again. And he brought it again. And he brought it out. And it was came back as flesh as it was before. So the Lord told him, look, the first sign is going to be the casting of your rod to the, so God has made him have this practice, right? Casting of your rod to the ground to become a serpent is going to be your first sign. They don't believe that. Well, then I'm going to give you this sign that you can put your hand in, make it leprous, bring it out again, and make it heal. God know that you got some power, you know, and he said, well, I will take that, you know. They also said, well, if they don't believe that, well, then you're going to take the water of the river, you're going to pour it on the ground, the water is going to become blood. So the Lord's already preparing Moses, all the things he has to do. It wasn't when he got to Egypt that he figured out what he needed. God already told him these things ahead of time. As Moses learned the ways of God, you know, he figured out the voice of God even more. The Lord told him more signs to do. But God started with just a few of these signs. God didn't tell him all the 9 or 11 plagues all at once, but did tell him enough of these that he will have to do. So, and now Moses said, well, yeah, I know about all those signs, but I'm not eloquent and I can't speak. You know, I'm a slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Now, up to this point, this is the first time we are hearing that he's a stammerer. He's slow of speech. He's all of these. We've never heard any such thing. But he has to figure out a way, you know, to get out of this thing. Doesn't want to do it. And so the Lord said to him, look, who is it that made man's mouth? Is it not me? You know, and I can make deaf, I can make dumb, I can make this, I can make blind, I can make to see. Have I not the Lord done all these things? I'm sending you, therefore, go, and I will be your mouth, and I will teach you what you need to say. You know, that's still not enough for Moses. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the word of the Lord unto you as well. Has not the Lord made the mouth? Has he not made the seeing ear or the hearing? I mean, the seeing eye or the hearing ear? Can't not the Lord do all these things? God said, look, I'll be with you. You know, Jesus also told them, don't think of what you are going to say. All this word we tell you. And people still, up till now, they just can't follow that. You want to sit down and wait until God tells you everything. God said, don't worry about it. You will speak what you need to speak at the time, because I will be your mouth. You know, and people say, well, I don't know about that. Well, Moses still said, I don't know about that. And he said, Moses now said, look, you know, go, I will be with you. You will speak what I want you to speak. You will say it. And Moses said, oh, my Lord, I pray, send somebody by me. Send somebody with me. Ladies and gentlemen, when God calls you alone, go alone. If God knew that you needed somebody, he would call somebody. You know, that's always been the problem. Same problem with Abraham. It took Lot along. It never ended well. It was out of the goodness of his heart, but it didn't end well. Moses here is saying, look, send somebody with me. I just can't do this. You know, and at this point in time, the Lord is angry now with Moses. Because, I mean, God told him all these things, and Moses is still trying to get out of it. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And so the Lord said, okay, Aaron the Levite, is he not your brother? I know he can speak well. I know you can speak well too. But, okay, I will send him. Now, he's coming, actually. Now, by that time, Aaron's already going somewhere. Maybe they look for, I don't know whether he's looking for his brother or whatever he's doing. It's been many years, 40 years have gone. And he's coming to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Moses said, wow, really? He said, yeah. And then you speak unto him all these words that I put in your mouth, and I will be with thy mouth. And with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. Don't worry about it. So God was patient, because God had a plan. See, your disobedience, your reluctance, or whatever, is not going to frustrate the grace of God, the plan of God. God already has something, and he's going to do it. You know, so he said, well, he'll be your spokesman. You know, and it shall be into you like your mouth. And remember, the Lord already said, this is a downgrade, actually. But the Lord said, look, I will be with your mouth. So now this is a downgrade. The downgrade is, well, okay, Aaron will now be your mouth. You know, so that's a downgrade. And God offered him something greater, and he rejected it and be downgraded. You know, so now he's downgraded. And you say, well, okay, Aaron will be your mouth, and thou shalt be unto him instead of God. See, it should have been God and you. Now it's going to be you and God. I mean, you and Aaron. But nevertheless, I'll be with you as I would have been with you from the first, whether you had someone else or not. And Aaron will be your mouth. You know, but it's a little bit of a downgrade. And you take this rod in your hand and you do signs. Now I'm going to leave this there because I want to pray. Like I said, this will be a mini series that I will do. And I am going to tell you where it's going. The series is titled, Let My People Go That They May Serve Me. But we're covering it in stages. And what we need to figure out in this series is what the Lord did and how he brought them out. The challenge, there are many verses where God said to Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me. We'll get to that tomorrow. Let my people go that they may serve me. Let my people go that they may serve me. And you know what Moses, I mean, what Pharaoh said, you know, who is the Lord that I should let his people go? And who is he? You know, and so forth. You know, and so in Exodus chapter 5, we'll get there tomorrow, but just a quick summary. Moses finally appears there, goes to Pharaoh, throws this challenge down. Thus saith the Lord, let my people go, and they may come and hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. In the other later chapters, which you will get to later, God will say to Pharaoh multiple times through Moses, let my people go that they may serve me. Let my people go that they may serve me. Now, this is the lesson in this series. God wants you to serve him and to walk with him. But Pharaoh has different plans. Going to try to increase your burden, increase your challenges, do so many things so that you will not have time to serve him. We've covered that, but we're going to bring it out in more detail in this series. So there is a throwdown here. Let my people go. It's a challenge that they may serve me. And on the other hand, who is this, the Lord, that I should let his voice even listen to? I am Pharaoh. Don't listen to anybody. You don't come out here into my house. In fact, I should throw you into prison right now. You don't come here into my house and tell me that some God told you to tell me what to do. You know, in fact, I'm going to make their situation worse. You say, let them go free. We'll see about that. Taskmasters, get over here. And I begin to tell those taskmasters, let there be more burdens added on these people. Make their work harder. Now, before, whereas you used to give them straw in order to make bricks, he said, no. This time around, give them nothing. Let them go find straw or whatever else for themselves. But you will not diminish the tale of bricks. Nothing will be less. What they needed to bring, you know, the tale, the levy that you gave them before to bring, whether it's 100 bricks a day or whatever, it will not be any less, even though you don't supply them materials. Let them go find, because of this nonsense, to let them go. I will make their burdens even higher and tougher. Then they will figure out they are going to come back to me and beg me. You know, because, you know, he said, you know, they want to go free. What is that? Go free to where? Serve who? Make their burdens worse so that they will not have time to serve this God. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's been the tactic of Pharaoh even until now. Now, what has God declared? I'm now going to switch this and go into a time of prayer. What has God declared for this month? It's kind of like, let my people go. The Lord declared that it shall be a month of rest and the beginning of months. And Pharaoh heard it, which is the devil. Say, month of rest, beginning of months. Oh, no, no, no. You know, may their bodies come out against them with different things. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is a stronger hand than the hand of the devil. And I'm going to pray in this room. I'm coming up against Pharaoh in this room today. Now, that's right. You heard me. Yeah. I'm coming out against Pharaoh in this room today. Hallelujah. And all the things that the Pharaoh is bringing against you, try to keep you in bondage, bring more things against you, against your family and different things, so that you won't be able to serve the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord said, let my people go. And one way or another, by a strong hand, failure is going to crumble. That's right. You don't go up against the God of gods. but the Lord, allowed him to do it. So multiple times, Moses told him, "Let my people go, saith the Lord, that they may serve me." And the man said, "I will do no such thing. I don't even know who this God is. Let alone, I'm the king here. I'm not coming here to tell me what to do or not do." So there is going to be this contest, and we're going to see throughout the early chapters of this, or the next few chapters of this book of Exodus, we're going to see how this thing went down. Praise the Lord. So that's going to be our mini series. And today was only part one of this. Praise God. So part one of this was all I wanted to do today. Let my people go, that they may serve me, saith the Lord. Now, that is an instruction directly today to Pharaoh and the devil, which the devil has said, "You want a month of rest? No, what rest? I'm going to give you trouble, even more so." Well, the Lord said, "Well, we're going to find out that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and that is my name. And I will do what I said I will do, and who shall let it?" The Lord is going to bring that peace, that rest to his people this month. Now, one more thing I will say unto you, and we'll get into it in greater detail tomorrow, is that when the Lord says you will have rest, just like the children of Israel, when the Lord said, he was going to bring them out, the situation actually got worse before it got better. It got worse before it got better. So, I'm going to change the order of the room today and pray. Now, here is the prayer, and I want you to get ready, because we're not playing right now. We are praying. I'm not playing around with the devil, because I see what he's doing, But I've also seen something. I've seen behind the brick wall. I've seen the sea billows rolling back. I've seen victory for God's people. But the devil said, "No, you can't do it. I'm going to let you go." Well, you will go, saith the Lord. That's right. You will get out of bondage. You will get out of the affliction. You will become into rest. And this is the month, the beginning of months unto you, saith the Lord. Now remember, I told you, throughout this month, I'm going to come on here every day and encourage you with this word for you to know that it is. So now, there are situations that we're going to pray about. And if you think the situation is not getting any better, for some of you, it's already getting better. But for some, situation may not be getting any better. Perhaps even looks worse. You're dealing with one thing, then something else happens on the other side. But yeah, that's all that Pharaoh always does. When the Lord said, "Let my people go," it is time to let his people go, actually. And he will, whether he likes it or not. And he doesn't like it, because it's this strong man that's keeping you down. But he thinks he's got you sitting right where he wants you. But the Lord says, when the stronger than he shall come upon him, first we'll bind him. Hallelujah. Put spiritual handcuffs on him. and spoil his goods, take away his armor and everything. So we're going to spoil that spoiler on here this morning. Are you ready? Praise God. Now I'm going to pray over the room, and I'm asking God to change your story. Praise God. Change your story. Now, out of the bondage of affliction and out of the land of Egypt, come out of there, Lord says. And like I said, it's in stages. You know, first, the enemy has to give up. Enemy is not going to give up easily. But we're going to pray until something happens. That's right. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up your people that are in the house here. One thing after the other seems to be happening. First, you know, you're dealing with situations. One situation, then next you're dealing with another. And then next the devil suggesting yet another. Because he will try to bring that fear around and so forth. But let me grant you, let me tell you this. There is no one that is greater than God Almighty. And there is no one that can withstand his power. Hallelujah. So I'm going to say to you today that the Lord is going to bring that deliverance and that rest that he promised. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, Lord, over your people today, I call the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong banner for you. And the Lord, he will break the burden of the Assyrian. Hallelujah. Break it. And the various things that you are dealing with, you know, God is going to break that. One of our precious sisters told us yesterday, her mother and all of that, you know, don't worry about it. You know, God, and when, you know, when these things begin to happen, it begin to affect your health, your mental stability, your health and everything and so on. But the Lord says, look, I will give you rest. Praise God. So I thank God for rest for the people of God. There remaineth a rest for you to enter in this month in the name of Jesus. And I declare for this room, for everyone that's in this room, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, for those of you that are on stage, you know, I want you to put this fire symbol on here. Remember, the Lord, he showed him this fire for a reason. We'll come to that later on. Put this fire symbol on here like I just did. Because I want fire to come upon the satanic altars on here this morning. Now, all the things that the enemy is trying to put upon you, I want the fire of God come against those satanic altars and those burdens and those chains. Glory to God. And let the name of the Lord, which is your banner, go before you. Now, the Lord, the song we spoke, I played at the beginning, that song said, he brought me this far and he's going to take me all the way. Now, don't let the enemy tell you anything different. The Lord has a way that he's going to do it. Now, the Lord break the Assyrian. Hallelujah. The Lord says it shall come to pass. Glory to God. Ma shandori alakuse burundakaya. That I will break. I will break. Let me say it again. I will break the Assyrian in my land. Hallelujah. Now, the Assyrian is the oppressor that has tormented the people of God. that continue to try to put burden upon you to say that that rest that you thought the Lord promised you, you're not getting it. I will actually make your situation worse. You thought it was just your job that you were dealing with at first. Now it's going to be your mother. Now it's going to be your health. Now it's going to be this and that. But the Lord said, look, I've seen all of that. I knew all of that was coming, you know, but the Lord is going to give the victory. Praise God. The victory. Hallelujah. Listen to this. In Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 27. Surely, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. As I have thought, glory to God, even so will I do. Well, the Lord has seen it. He has purposed it in his heart. And even so is he going to do. That so shall it stand. Now, let me read that to you again. Say, thus saith the Lord, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, Isaiah 14 and 24, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. It will stand, ladies and gentlemen, that I will break the Assyrian in my land. And upon my mountain will I tread him underfoot, so that his yoke will depart off of you, and his burden shall be broken from your shoulders, in the name of Jesus Christ. This is the purpose that is proposed for the children of God. Ha! This is the hand that is stretched out upon all my people. For the Lord has purposed it, and who shall disannul it? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want you to read this lesson. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 24 to verse 27. This is going to be a prayer point this morning. And I want everybody to read it. If you have your Bible, turn to it. This is what the Lord is saying. And I'm going to repeat it over this room. The Lord of hosts has sworn, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I purpose, so shall it stand. I will break. Say that I will break. This is what God has sworn, that I will break the unrest. Hallelujah. And bring you into a time of rest. I will break the Assyrian. Now the Assyrian is the one that's causing you to not have rest. That is the Pharaoh and is all these things. I will break him, and upon my mountain I will tread him down. Now, are you come to the Mount Zion or not? I will tread him down so that his yoke will be taken from off of you, and his burden shall depart from off your shoulders, in the name of Jesus. Now, this is the purpose that is proposed for all of my children. And this is the hand that's stretched out upon them. Hallelujah. But the Lord of hosts has purposed it. And who is strong enough to disannul what the Lord said? And this is the hand of the Lord that stretched out. And who shall turn it back? Now the good hand of the Lord be upon you, in the name of Jesus. The Lord showed Pharaoh here. And you'll see through this series, when we go through this series this month, you'll see that power of God. And you'll see that Pharaoh was a pawn in God's hands. Yes. He thought he was doing great things, but the Lord showed him, you know, so, or terrible things rather, not great. Thought he was doing terrible things, but the Lord showed him. So I pray for you a reversal. The sea billows that are coming in to try to overwhelm you, I saw that they were reversed and rolled back already. I looked beyond, you know, just like Moses said, he looked and he saw something. Well, I looked and I saw on the other side of that brick wall. I saw that you came through. Praise God. That was a brick wall. It's called the gates of hell. The devil put it up against you, but it cannot prevail. I saw that you came through on the other side. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let me declare this. Before this month is over, you know, there are some men of God in the Bible that the Lord will say, use them to say certain things. Like he will say, well, according to the time of life, at this time and this and this, you know, just say, well, let me declare this by the word of the Lord. I don't make myself like any one of those people. I just do what the Lord puts in my mouth. But let me declare this to you by the word of the Lord. You know, that the word which the Lord has declared. Today is July 23rd. It's just about 1 week or 8 days left in this month. But in this time, before this month ends, I pray and declare that God will change that story for you. Whatever it is that has been like, look, this is the mountain that I cannot climb. I've climbed other mountains, but this one, it just seems that I can't climb it. I've made it through other storms, but this one just seems as if I can't make it. That's why I played the song for you at the beginning. And if you missed the song, I'll put a link in our chat, in our WhatsApp thing later on at the end of this room. Listen to it again. He brought you this far, and he's not going to leave you now. Got to remember everything that the Lord has already done, and he's going to do this one as well. Now this will be the hand of the Lord. That's right. Hallelujah. Because the Lord has determined to do this for you. He spoke it. You know, it led me here the beginning of July and gave me this word. And I believe it with all my heart. Now, every battle of the warrior, saith the Lord, is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. According to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 5. But this one, you know, I mean, you've been confusion, you've been this and that. And so that's why I told you to put the fire symbol on here. Let me read it for you again. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. That's usually how you fight battle. At the end of it, noise everywhere, garments, everybody on every side rolled with blood. Now, this time around, This one will bear the burning and fuel of fire. It's going to be the fire of the Holy Ghost that's coming down upon the armies of Pharaoh in your life, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord said, I have no intention for you to remain as bondsmen. I will break the Assyrian. He told them, I will break the Assyrian and I will set you free. And the Lord says to Pharaoh, and I say to everyone in this room today, hear ye the word of the Lord, that the Lord is saying to those Pharaohs that are in your life, let my people go, that they may serve me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.